Business, finance, politics. There's a lot going on out there, and the Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast covers it all, twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, March 16th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. The resumption of student loan repayments is back on the calendar. But like many Americans, student loan borrowers' personal finances are already being stretched. And for some, adding another monthly expense couldn't come at a worse time.
It raises concerns that these younger Americans are less likely to have the savings to tap when their finances are stretched, and it raises the likelihood that they could default.
Coming up, we'll talk to Wall Street Journal reporter Gabe Rubin. That's after the break.
Flying cars, robot doctors, even living on other planets. Right now, the stuff of science fiction seems almost within our grasp. But making these ideas a reality? That's going to be an adventure. I'm Alex Osola. On the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast, we'll tell you about the science and technology that will transform the world of tomorrow. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
After several extensions, student loan payments are expected to resume later this year. But some borrowers already struggling with their personal finances could find it difficult to make ends meet. Wall Street Journal reporter Gabe Rubin joins us to discuss. Hey, Gabe, thank you very much for being here.
Pleasure to be with you.
So, Gabe, catch us up for a moment. Where do things stand with the litigation surrounding President Biden's student loan forgiveness proposal?
So a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the case, and the decision is expected by the end of the court's term late in June. So in the months between now and then, we're not really likely to know anything from the court or get any signals that they're going to rule one way or another.
All right. So when the Supreme Court decides, what happens then?
So they will either rule that President Biden's plan can go forward, or they will strike it down as unconstitutional. So payments would restart about 60 days after the court issues its ruling or the Biden administration implements the program. And just a reminder, that program would cancel up to $20,000 in debt for people who make under a certain income threshold and comply with certain other requirements. So either way, around 60 days after the Supreme Court wraps up the case, people with remaining student loans will have to start making payments on those loans, which they haven't done or haven't been required to do since March 2020. And the difference would be that some people would have their entire loan balance wiped out or would have significantly less money to pay if the program is allowed to go through, as opposed to if the Supreme Court strikes it down.
All right, so let's talk about what this means with regard to borrowers' personal finances. People of nearly all ages have some kind of debt they're paying off. But why has the impact of potentially resuming payments among younger borrowers raised concerns?
Yeah, so these are households that are really getting squeezed by both high inflation and rising interest rates. And we see the shift in credit conditions being starkest among these younger consumers who are less likely to have significant savings, are more likely to have student debt. And borrowers in their 20s and 30s reached 90 days or more delinquency on credit card debts and auto loans at a higher rate in the fourth quarter of 2022 than they were before the pandemic. And people in these age groups, millennials and Gen Z consumers, are accounting for more spending in the economy, which makes sense given that they continue to get older and account for more of the adult population of this country. So they accounted for about 30% of spending in 2021, which was up from approximately 25% in 2019, according to the Labor Department.
Wow. So they play an important role in the economy. And now with possibly the repayments coming along, what does all this mean in terms of their actual ability to resume payments?
Yeah, it raises concerns that these younger Americans are less likely to have the savings to tap when their finances are stretched, and it raises the likelihood that they could default on some of their loans or be late on credit cards and face mounting debt in all sorts of areas of their life, whether that's an auto loan, credit card debts, falling behind on mortgage payments. So it's definitely a concern for a variety of areas of the economy.
So are these challenges and struggles faced by you know, millennials and Gen Z, the younger generation of borrowers. Is this being recognized at all by people on both sides of the student loan forgiveness argument?
Yeah, certainly. So the Biden administration has actually made the higher risk of defaults coming out of the payment pause one of their main legal reasons for the mass student debt cancellation program. And that is the case that they made before the Supreme Court. Now, on the other side, congressional Republicans say these payments have been paused for 3 years at this point, and the cost of that pause by not accruing interest and the government not collecting payments has cost well over $150 billion. So they make the point that the continued payment pause is almost like a mass debt cancellation program in and of itself. At its core, opponents of the mass debt cancellation program simply don't think that the Biden administration has the constitutional ability to decide that because these borrowers may have higher default risks, then they deserve to have all of this debt canceled. And they believe that that power really only rests with Congress to decide whether to do something like that. Whereas the Biden administration thinks that there are authorities under certain emergency laws that were passed after the 9/11 attacks are perfectly applicable in a pandemic situation.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Gabe Rubin with us. Gabe, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Jack Howe, host of a podcast called Barron Streetwise. Critics have called it about investing mostly and roughly 20 minutes an episode. We recently dug into questions like how long will high inflation last and should you buy tanking tech stocks like Netflix and Rivian? Listen to Barron Streetwise on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.